What a great day. I'm so excited for today. I hope you're excited. I know when Dom gave his word and then Kevin gave his word, I was like, horses hold me back. I want to go and preach now. And the worship was outstanding. And everything we've been done this morning has been working towards just helping me give you a word. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would open minds and hearts as I speak your words today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And I'm also excited that we're doing a baptism today. Isn't it good? Isn't it great? When people of courage step forward and say, I want to be obedient to God's word. And so well done to those three that are going to be baptized today. So let me get on with the sermon because I'm not going to rush it. So today we're carrying on with a season of favor, and through the season of favor we're looking into the different aspects of how we can enjoy God's favor, we can walk in God's favor, we can take hold of His favor over our lives and in our lives. And so today I want to talk about the favor of God's restoration. The favor of God's restoration. Now, I take it by now this morning after the worship and the words and everything that some don't feel that you're bereft of God's favor. But often in life, going through life, certain challenges and stuff come against us and we feel that, well, God, you're not there, or the heavens are like brass, you know, all the expressions, I can't hear you, God, I can't see you, God. Well, I want to help dispel that for you today, because throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, you will see that God is in the business of restoration. And we might find that things aren't going well for us, but we just need to press in a little bit more and find out that God's favor is still with us, and He is for us. He is not against us. He is a good Father. He is Abba Father. And situations on earth here, but you must remember in everything, if you don't take anything else away today, remember that our position has changed because we are seated in heavenly places with Him. Good. So, what is God in the business of restoration? Number one, if we look through Scripture, you see He's in the business of restoring our souls. Psalm 23, He says, He restores my soul. Our health. He's interested in your health. How do I know? Mark 3:2. And they watched Jesus to see whether He would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse Him. Aren't people ugly? Here's a man going to get healed and they're going to see, how can we accuse him? They don't care about the man getting healed. And we, you know, part of being a Christ follower is we're in the people business. So that's just a help there. And then He said to the man with the withered hand, come here. Mark 8:25. Then Jesus laid His hands on his eyes again, and He opened his eyes. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. You know that He's interested in our inheritance, our lands, our fortunes. Often fortune in the Bible, we're thinking money, but it actually means people. Psalm 14, verse 7. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out Zion, the new church. When the Lord restores the fortunes of His people, let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad. He's interested in the fruit of your years, of the years. Joel 2:25 says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. This was the very first prophetic word that was given to me. I didn't even understand prophecy. I knew nothing about prophecy. I grew up in a church where there was no prophecy because we didn't believe in that, because we were pretty much cessationists and legalists. And then went to this new church, and the guy, young man, stood up and he prophesied this over me. Well, we have to understand it's not the years, because you can't get back the years. You know, Dom was 50 last year. He's now 51 this year. He can't get that back. Sorry, Dom. But if you want to know how old he is, it's the fruit of the years of your labor that is going to be restored. And Jesus said, you will go and do more than I have done. It's the restoration of the earth, of the fruit and of the harvest which the locusts have consumed. So some of you think, well, how am I going to get back the years? Stop worrying about the years. Think of the fruit and the harvest that God has got you to ready to pluck and to plant and to uproot. He's in restoring the joy of salvation. Psalm 51:12, restore to me the joy of your salvation, uphold me with a willing spirit. Our position. Genesis 41:13, as he interpreted to us, talking of Joseph, so it came about, I was restored to my office and the baker was hanged. There you go. Ephesians 2:6, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We were restored back to the original encounter with God, the place of origin with man, with Adam and Eve in the garden, restored back to that. And then, of course, last week we dived into David's fallen tabernacle, and he's restoring and restored that. Acts 15:16, and I will return and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins and I will restore it. And Acts is talking about Amos 9:11. In that day I will raise up the booth of David that has fallen and repair its breaches and raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old. Just want to, normally we say turn with me in your Bibles, but or your hard device or whatever, but it'll be up on the screen anyway. In Isaiah 49, we have this prophecy of restoration and favor to Israel. However, it is also speaking of the future coming Messiah, the coming King Jesus, and who will covenant and restore and bring favor, not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. Now, when reading Isaiah, one has to understand that he's talking about Israel and restoring Israel, but it's also a future prophecy for when the Messiah comes, and then Jews and Gentiles are grafted into that vine of Jesus. So we're going to read some pieces of scripture, and then we're going to look at it. So Isaiah 49, verse 8 says, thus says the Lord, in a time of favor, I have answered you. In a day of salvation, I have helped you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritage, saying to the prisoners, come out. Does this sound like another piece of Isaiah? And to those who are in darkness, appear, and they shall feed along the ways. On all bare hearts shall be their pleasure. They shall not hunger or thirst, neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. Verse 11, and I will make all my mountains a road, and my highways shall be raised up. Behold, these shall come from afar, and behold, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sion. Sing for joy, O heaven, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. So now some of you might say, well, north and east and north or whatever it is, west and the north and from the west, where's what is Sion? Now, if you go and study the scripture, you will see that Isaiah the prophet writing the thing is stretching it. He's doing an Acts 1:8, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and out to the ends of the world. Sion is commonly known as China. And so he's saying they're coming from the north, they're coming from the west, man, they're coming from everywhere. I'm stretching this wide out. And so the Lord is going to restore and bring back. And so number one, we need to understand and have a revelation of God's favor. And not just his favor, but our favor on our lives and who he is. So we have to understand some things of what I'm talking about, why I say a revelation, because all God's favor is providential. Okay, that's a big word, Mark. What does that mean? Well, it means that all God's favor is destined. All God's favor is divine. All God's favor is heaven sent for us. All God's favor is beneficial to us, towards us. There's nothing in God's favor that does not bless us and encourage us and uplift us and move us along. He says in verse 8, in a time of favor I've answered you, in a season of good pleasure. Now Paul, writing to the Corinthians hundreds of years, thousands of years later, to the Corinthians as partners in the gospel, and he's expounding on And I don't have all day to do that. Well, we could, I guess. Eh? No, I don't. All day to understand what was said before. And so understanding context. And so, but what was said before was 2 Corinthians 5:18, where it says that we have been given this ministry of reconciliation. We are being restored back to even better. And when we understand that, and well, this is my ministry. No, the only ministry that God ever gave you was the one of reconciliation, was to preach the gospel to restore people back to Him. Now that I've said that, 2 Corinthians 6:2, and you might find that some of this echoes from Isaiah 49. For He says, in a favorable time, I listened to you. And in a day of salvation, I've helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And we have to understand that now in English and now in Greek means the same thing. It means now. Not like South Africans, just now. I know. Well, the first time I came here and people said to me, well, when are we going to do this? I said, just now. And they were like, okay, let's go. I said, no, just now. So in South African, just now can mean 3 seconds, 5 minutes, or 5 hours, or 5 days. It makes a difference. It's just now. But I know in Canada, now means now. So this should be really alive to you. We have to understand that God's favor upon us means He listens to us. We are encouraged to talk to God. We're encouraged to call upon God. Why? Because He listens to us. And if some of you are feeling, well, He doesn't, press in. He listens to us. God wants His children to live favor-minded. And that's why we have to learn to not live sin-conscious. We have to learn to live righteous-conscious. Not thinking about how I'm a sinner all the time. You're not. You're not a sinner saved by grace. You're a child of the King that has been saved by grace through faith. And that we live in that world. Don't keep going back. And we don't want, well, God doesn't favor me. He doesn't listen to me. He doesn't speak to me. No. I'm a child of the King, and God favors me. And not with pride, but with a contrite heart and a deep revelation understanding. He is Abba. He is my Father, and He favors me. He says, He answers your prayers. What He is speaking is when He says He listens to us, He means a very intimate, very interactive conversation between us and God. And I know sometimes you feel like, well, I'm just doing all the talking. Hot tip. We have one mouth and two ears. Speak little, listen much. But God, you don't understand. I asked you that 3 minutes ago and you never gave me an answer. Speak little, listen much. When we acknowledge the favor of God in us, we will pray with more confidence. We will pray with more boldness. We will understand and have a boldness in our spiritual strength that enables us to hear from the Lord and to use us mighty ways for His glory. Number two will be, this is not up there, it's just part of the scripture. God favor says, I've helped you. He says, I've helped you in a day of salvation. The word salvation it means you got saved. Well, it has a number of other meanings that can help us. It means that deliverance, it talks about deliverance, it talks about rescue, it talks about release, it talks about restoration, it talks about healing or victory that Dom brought this morning. And when we have salvation, sozo, body, soul, and spirit, then we are healed. The Lord will fight for you. He has fought for you. The battle is already won. And sometimes we think it's not because we don't think favor-minded. We know that we still have some little skirmishes here. And the enemy comes against you. And I think we have to learn as a people of God, and Lord, please hear my heart, because I know that when I preach stuff, then I get tested on the stuff that I preach. What I'm saying is that sometimes we have to understand that even though we're going into battle, the enemy is trying to break us down. His job, his career, his everything is to destroy you. But in Christ Jesus, I am more than a conqueror. I'm not just a conqueror, I'm more than. And I know sometimes we just trot these little expressions out glibly, and But we got to learn to get the depth of God's wordness, the theology of what that means for us. He fights for us on a daily basis. Jesus is interceding for you and me. We cry out for this kind of salvation. Only the Lord can work it. We are soldiers of Christ. We are in constant battle with the forces of darkness. And we can call upon the commander-in-chief and he will bring victory for us. And sometimes it's not just 3 minutes. And I think I can't remember who it was, Kevin or Dom this morning said, sometimes, Kevin, when the sea is there or the mountain is there, we're looking for a way around the mountain and God is saying, my child, go through the mountain. Go through the mountain. I'm not removing this mountain, but go through the mountain. And by faith. I know, remember not only that with the sea was reported, parted, remember the priest had to carry the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders? And the instruction was, to the raging torrent of river, step into the river. I'm like, no, okay, someone else is on duty today. I'm not just going to. And they just put this thing and they stepped in, and as they stepped in, the waters parted. That's some faith. And we need some river parting, sea parting faith to step into, see his favor upon your lives, in our lives. And then, of course, it says, now is the time of God's favor. We are walking in it. It's not like we're waiting for this to happen. We're experiencing it. We're living it. We're breathing it. We're partnering together for the sake of the gospel in his favor. The prophetic word of Isaiah 49 is being revealed in Corinthians here as we are now co-workers with Christ Jesus. I want to encourage you, when you're facing tough circumstances, I think you should learn to declare this verse over your life. And when we get to the part now, you learn to say that loud. I mean literally. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time of my favor, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that now this is going to happen. And not in a demanding way, but in a way of understanding the revelation of God's favor upon our life and who you are in Christ Jesus. And I want to ask you, what situation are you facing today that is begging for the favor of salvation of the Lord, the deliverance of the Lord? Now is the time. Romans 3:21 says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. We understand that now this speaks of the newness of God's work through Jesus Christ. It really is the new covenant in practice and action and being fulfilled. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets of old. And this speaks of a continuity of Christ. Rachel came, God does not change. It's not like there was for then and this is for now. I think last week I said, you can't put God in a box and think he's going to work according to us. Scripture teaches us quite clearly. His ways are not our ways. His ways are way higher than our way. So as best you can think of a situation, the best way you can try and describe God, he's better and bigger and more magnificent and more wonderful. And he is our Father and he loves us. Romans 5:17. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. We are born again to reign over every situation we find ourselves in, every circumstance that comes against us, wherever it is. We are favored to reign and rule in life. And that is not just a cute saying. That is deep theology that we need to grasp hold of it and see when that situation comes against you, when that person is nasty to you, or when that boss doesn't understand you, or when your pastor doesn't understand you. I'm here to rule and reign, Lord. You call me to rule and reign. When your husband doesn't understand you, or your wife doesn't understand you, or your mother, your father, your parents, whatever. I'm called to rule and reign. Number two, that was just the first point. Number two, all God's favor is personal. Now, I know in Isaiah 49, he's writing to Israel, but it's also personal for you and me and for them. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I answered you. In a day of salvation I have helped you. And I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritage. God is extremely invested in each one of us. Well, no, he likes that family, but he doesn't like our family so much. Part of Bridget's testimony tells you she thought that God loved everybody, just but he'd like you. No, not you. That's faulty thinking. God loves everybody just the same. He has no favorites. Well, I like to think I'm God's favorite. Yeah, you keep dreaming. The favor of God can be also be described as a divine kindness or an act of true compassion on the part of God himself towards you, towards those that are needy, towards those that are undeserving humans through Jesus Christ, and as Jesus is towards mankind. Already mentioned, he's so interested in you, he can count the hairs on your head. He knows how many there are. Oop, there fell one. Okay. John 21, Peter restored after dying Christ. Even when we deny Christ, he will restore us if we come seeking. Number three, all God's favor is purposeful. Isaiah 49:8, thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I've answered you, in a day of salvation I've helped you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages. You look over your life as I can look over my life. I can look back and see where my inheritance was devastated, where my legacy was devastated, where my land apportioned to me was devastated. But God's plan or purpose are for us and not against us. He establishes a covenant for us. Favor from God is always given in the pursuit of his purpose for our lives. You know, he's not just like random. You know, we do something random sometimes and we go, okay. God never does anything random. There's always a purpose and a plan and a blessing and favor upon what he does. The purpose, the path of purpose is the path to find God's favor manifested in our lives. We got to wake up every morning going, Lord, how will I be favored today? How can I bless somebody else? Because that's part of your favoring. It's the greatest kindness you can do is help somebody else. Like praying with an old lady with a sore back. I know if you'd gone, Janine and Jess, if you'd gone home, you would have spoken about it all the way in the car and you would have spoken about it at home and you would have gone, oh, we should have prayed for that lady. How can we find that lady? Obedience is just better than sacrifice. That's all it is. Good job. Positionally, we are already blessed and favored because we are in Christ. Let that sink in for you. But to experience it in a deeper way is dependent on you and me. We can come here and we can stand up. Some of us can stand up and say, man, that worship was off the hook today. Did you feel the presence of God? And some of you go, yeah, no, it wasn't so great. I felt nothing. Why? It's because you're not invested. You haven't stepped into that realm. I don't think I'm getting weird, but do you know that there is a realm of glory? And it's increasing from one day to the next, from one moment to the next. And either you can sleep through it or you can step into it. There's certain things God won't do for us. Well, doesn't he do everything? Well, he's done everything. But there are things that we need to do to us. Favor is never given to squander on self-centered pursuits or self-serving interests. Now I want to flip again to another reading, Psalm 107. And you'll see parallels between Psalm 107 and Isaiah 49. And we see that it describes different types of people within the community. And as a call to give thanks to God for his steadfast love towards us, his enduring mercy. How's your enduring mercy doing? His favor that has shown the community and individuals, and it reveals four accounts that we're going to talk through of people in distress when God rescues and shows favor to. Now, I want to encourage you, it's too long for me to read it out today, and so I've taken the pieces that I want, but I'm encouraging you to go home and take 10 minutes and sit down and read Psalm 107 to yourself. It'll help you. So it starts off with Psalm 107. So we have to understand the favor of God's restoration. As I said, read the full psalm. Psalm 107 verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord, that would be you and many, say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. Verse 3. And gathered in from the lands, similarity, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. And so what is happening in Psalm 107? It's speaking of the post-exilic period where they've been in captivity in Babylon and now they are being released and they're going back and they're going to rebuild Jerusalem, etc., etc. And they are being drawn back from all corners of the world and gathered together. Because his favor throughout Scripture and throughout time is providential, is personal and purposeful. Let's see who he is gathering. So number one, those that have wandered. Psalm 107 verse 4. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. And somewhere along our lives, we end up like that. We end up wandering around. Some of the people's situations are even worse, as if they never even got saved at first. And they find that they have been lost in their sin. They're wandering with no place to call home, an endless maze of desolation, never putting down roots and being grounded and wandering from different aspects of life. And what I mean from that is, are you forever changing jobs? Are you like, well, I'm in this job for 2 months or 3 or 6 months or a year, and then I change it, and then I go to another, and then I do another one. And then when someone goes along, and you can speak to Bridget, she's an expert in this field. She owned her own business in recruitment. And she would get a resume of someone who's done like 15 jobs. She would just go, yeah, I don't know how much chance this guy's got, or girl. Because they can't put roots down. Sadly, from one relationship to another. Spiritual orphans. I just visited here, and then I visited this church, and then I visited that church. No spirit, no roots. However, and you're going to hear me say this every time, Scripture says, when we cry to God, he will rescue you and will bring his favor to bear upon your life. When you're tired of that, and we go, Jesus, I want to just commit my life to you. Number two, those that are prisoners sitting in darkness. Psalm 107:10. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. Those that rebelled at his word or his ways, his plans and purposes, and have found themselves on hard times. Some will be literal prison. Some will be prisons that you've created yourself. Now, when I used to do prison ministry in South Africa, there were some guys that were more free in the prison than there were those in the church. I know, wrap your head around that one. You've imprisoned yourselves and feel the discipline of the Lord. Let me make it clear, not the punishment of God. God doesn't punish us. Propitiation. His wrath has been rested and sealed through the blood of Jesus. You will find favor in every situation you can find yourself in. I'll tell you, I'll try and make it short. A friend of mine in South Africa who now leads an amazing church, 15 or so years ago, committed a crime, committed fraud, and he was sentenced to jail for 4 years. And he'd already come to know the Lord, but because he chose to serve mammon rather than God, he ended up in this situation. He not only wandered away, but he also ended himself as prisoner sitting in darkness. Now in South Africa, in the prison system, they have the gang system, and they have the 28s, the 27s, and the 26s. Now, to be a member of one of the gangs, when you get to prison, they ask you, what gang member do you want to be? And you get to choose. And the way you become a member of a gang is you have to stab somebody in prison. So he went in, he said, no, I don't want to be a gang member. I'm just here to do my time and go home. And then they said to him, well, if you don't become a gang member, then you are called what we call a target. Which means that if you want to become a member of the gangs, you stab a target, you don't stab another gang member, because then that will cause a gang war. So he was a target. However, he was a very smart guy, and so he went to the prison warden and said, listen, I want to start a program, and I've written a program on how to teach the prisoners how to use computers. They said, okay, he says, but I want the gang members and the targets here. They said, no. You can't have gang members and targets in the same room, because you know what's going to happen. Someone's going to get stabbed. So he says, no, I've prayed, and the Lord told me to do this, and I guarantee you that no one will get stabbed in the classroom. So he said, oh, okay. All right, you can do it, but it's on you if someone gets stabbed. So he calls his first meeting. He says, listen, guys, gangs and targets, I know you're here. No stabbing in my classroom. If you want to stab in the corridor, you can go do that. So he calls the guys together. And then one day he's standing in the yard and he's praying and he's talking and he doesn't even hear the guy sidle up to him. And the guy sidles up to him and he says, good morning. And he looks down and this is the baddest dude in the whole jail. He is the general of the 28s. Now, you don't really want to be 26 or 27. You actually want to be a 28. And the guy's standing next to him, and he says, listen, I heard what you did for the gang members. You want to teach them? He says, no one in all the years I've been here, and I'm a lifer, I'm not going anywhere, no one has ever done anything for the gang members but you. So he said, okay, thank you. And the guy says, I'm telling you now, you are free in this prison. No one will touch you. Because if someone touches you, I will personally kill them. He says, oh, I don't want anybody killed. Please, don't stab, don't kill anybody. He says, no, I'm just telling you, this is the word. And he was like, gee, Lord, that was weird. And he said, this is my favor upon you. And the point I'll tell you that story is it doesn't matter what your situation is. Wherever you are, if you obey God and you do God's will, favor will come to your life. When we cry out to God, He will rescue you and bring His favor to bear upon your life. Number three, those that make foolish choices. That's probably like 80% of people. Psalm 107:17. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquity suffered affliction. Some continue in their foolish ways. When we talk with scriptures talking about habitual sin, you just keep doing the same thing over and over. Oh, I'm sorry, and you just do it again. Oh, I'm sorry, and you do it again. You're not sorry. You're sorry you got caught. Hey, yeah. We have to understand that we have to break those. You know, some of you want to do it a la Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. If you go and read the words of the song, it's all about me, and how I did it. How stupid. I know, and we all just go, oh, the songs are so amazing. No, they're not. Sometimes they are just foolish. Anyway, the folly of these people, when they turn from God, brings about their own affliction. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. You won't be called a son. Now, when it says sons, it also means daughters. So don't ladies that's you guys. It means sons and daughters. But when we stop making foolish decisions, when we step into that realm, He has taken us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into His glorious kingdom of light. And we're going to learn to stay in the light. Don't keep slipping back into the shadows. That's a foolish decision. When we cry out to God, He will rescue you and will favor you and to bring upon His favor upon your life. And then the last one, those that run away. Psalm 107:23. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. Some ride the stormy seas. We're getting out of here. We're getting out of where? Dodge. That's the one I was thinking of. Yes. And we're getting out of Dodge, and we ride this. And sometimes you're up, and sometimes you're down. And nothing's stable in your life. Your reasoning, your behavior, and lifestyle are erratic. One day you're happy, next day you're not so happy. And seeing we're doing some songs today, let's do another one. Some of you are like Katy Perry's song, Hot and Cold. Because you're hot and then you're cold, you're yes and then you're no, you're in and then you're out, you're up and then you're down. And we go, oh, you're a great song. It's not. It's a sad song. We just can't make it. I know. Instead of just facing the situation, dealing with the situation, you avoid it, you make all excuses, and you blame everyone else, your job, your parents, your husband, your wife, your kids, and of course, let's not forget your pastor. It's his fault. In our case, our fault. See, I'm really making an excuse. I'm not taking the blame by myself. I want to bring them into it. Now, if there are areas in your life where you find that you have wandered away, you've just wandered. I'm just wandering. I'm just like this rolling stone that gathers no moss. Those that are prisoners, they're sitting in darkness. You go, man, life is so gloomy for me. Those that make foolish choices and those that run away. Now, in Psalm 107, it says this four times. Well, that's four. Four times in verses 8, 15, 21, and 31. It says this. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Oh Lord, my situation really sucks. It's terrible. I just feel like this. But I'm going to give thanks to you, Lord, for your unfailing love and your wonderful deeds for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know, in James it says that we've got to rejoice when trials and tribulations come. I know it's like, do you know that's humanly impossible? Yeah, it is. But in Christ Jesus, it is. Last scripture, Isaiah 66:2. These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. We have to learn, once again, to fear God more than we fear man. We have to learn to obey God before we obey man. We have to learn to go, no, I'm a king's kid and I'm walking on this. I want to encourage you. His favor is now. Now is his time of favor. Now is the day of salvation. Now is when we take hold of it. Can we all just stand, please? Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. And Lord God, we come before you this morning and we feel, Lord God, that in our hearts, some of us have wandered. Some are prisoners sitting in darkness. Some have surely made foolish choices. And those that just want to run away. And Lord God, we choose today to give thanks to you for your unfailing love in every circumstance, in every situation we find ourselves. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.